Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, the book of Jeremiah. This is a unique verse. And I've known it for a long time. I've never preached on it. I've looked at it a lot, and I've heard people talk about it a lot. But it's apropos for this season. For the customs of the people, this is Jeremiah 10:3. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. And they deck it with silver, with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. You may be seated. I want to talk to you on this subject. What is paganism to them is praise to me. You know, I've been in the church all of my life, and I've seen every kind of extreme and excess that there can possibly be on both sides. Things that I agree with scripturally, don't agree with scripturally. I saw a church a few years ago. They thought it was really neat. But for a baptismal service, they brought a water slide like you'd have in a theme park. And as you slid down, they called the name of the Lord. That was their baptism. I disagreed with that totally. I've seen all kinds of things. And one of the things that I've dealt with is people that become very sensitive in the Holy Spirit, develop a place where they major in minors. Suddenly, small things become so very important to them. Used to be a man came to church here, came for a long time. I helped him receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there used to be an Albertson store over here back before they went out of business. And Albertson used to decorate big time for Halloween. And so he's new in the Lord. He goes over there and throws a fit, hollering and carrying on about how we don't believe in Halloween. It was embarrassing. It didn't accomplish a thing. And then we had a family that used to come here. There were several families related. And we let our little children dress up in the children's church. We told them not to dress up as witches or demons or anything occult, but if they wanted to dress up like cartoon characters or angels, that was fine. They got mad and left the church over that. There were several families of them. And they'd had some problems. I counted in their family, in their immediate family, they had over 10 divorces. Now, suddenly, a little child with angel wings is more important than their marriage. Don't major in minors. Keep the big things the big things. Jesus called them weighty things. Keep the weighty things weighty. And so I have lived long enough to be around a lot of people, preached in a lot of churches, to where they didn't believe in Christmas. You couldn't say Merry Christmas. You couldn't exchange gifts. You couldn't have a Christmas tree because of this verse. They said, see, he's telling you not to have a Christmas tree. The only problem with that, this verse was written 700 years before Jesus was born. So it couldn't have been talking about Christmas. And so when we look at these things, we say, well, you know, they're very paganistic. The world, everything's paganistic in this world. The days of the year, the months on the calendar, we live in a world that is paganistic. But friend, instead of making that an issue, we can actually use that as a platform to show them the distinguishing power of the Lord. Your greatest witness is your difference between you and the world. And if your difference is just to be condemning, it's not much of a witness. If your difference is just to be weird, it's not much of a witness. If your difference is just to always be complaining about it, it's not much of a witness. But if you can be happier than they are, if you can be more joyful than they are, if you can be more victorious than they are, if you don't have the same problems with alcohol and drug addiction, you can be a tremendous witness. Let your witness be the goodness of the Lord, not the condemnation of religion. Let your witness be the joy of the Lord, the power of the Lord. And so here we are at Christmas season. And here's the number one objection of those Christians that have made themselves into Christian Scrooges. They said, number one, Jesus was not born on December the 25th. And then I say, how do you know? Well, they say, history. So you are accepting the pagan history of what day that Jesus was born. What are we supposed to do? If Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th, what day was he born? Well, I don't know. So we're supposed to ignore the birth of Jesus Christ as Christians? There's nobody in the world that does that. We celebrate the birthdays of Martin Luther King Jr. We celebrate the birthdays of presidents. We celebrate the birthdays of our loved ones. Why would we ignore the birthday of our Lord and Savior? I don't care what day it was, but they said it was December the 25th. Why don't I just build on that and say if the world is going to close down for December the 25th, instead of me sitting on the sidelines and criticizing, why don't I just lead the parade? Because Jesus was born someday. I don't know what day it was, and history does not know what it is. There's a lot of theories about the month of Jesus. We don't even have that satisfied when it is. And then they say, well, not only that, but the fact that we have a Santa Claus, we are idolizing Santa Claus. We're not idolizing Santa Claus. Santa Claus ain't saved nobody. Santa Claus ain't died for nobody. There is no empty North Pole, but there's an empty tomb. We are not idolizing Santa Claus. Santa Claus is just from a priest that was a good person that gave a lot of good gifts and did a lot of nice things. So why don't we just take this opportunity when the world has stopped and start talking about Jesus? Say, oh, let me tell you about Jesus because I know him personally. It's always something when somebody starts telling you about somebody famous they've seen on stage or on the basketball court or the football field, and you can say, I've met them personally. I know them personally. I've met several movie stars personally. It's always fun. I've met several politicians. I've met three presidents personally. It's always nice to talk about them. When I was a little boy, there was a movie star that was in all the westerns. I was in Oklahoma several years ago, and I saw him there. He's by himself, and I went by to him, and I said, Mr. Robertson, I said, I always appreciated your work, and I just kept moving. Brandon was with me. He was a little kid. And I sat down at my table to eat, and that movie star came and sat down with me. And he said, you mind if I join you? I said, no, you're happy to. And so he sat there with me. When I got up, I was selling horses. I had five horses to sell. He said, can I go with you, Steve? And he spent all day with me getting my horses ready to go through. He gave me his personal number. He wanted me to come to his ranch and meet his wife. It was just a thrill. But every time I see him, they run reruns of his Western movies now. So I say, oh, I know that guy. Well, friend, there's a whole bunch of people talking about a person, but I know him personally. And so if you're going to take a day and set it aside, I am going to celebrate Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Titus 1 and 15, under the pure, all things are pure. You know, if we're not very careful, we can really major on minors and not do any good. Do you know what the Apostle Paul did? Did you ever read in the Bible where Paul said, until the world, as long as the world stands, I will not eat meat? What does that mean? Does that mean he had never had a Big Mac? He'd never go to McDonald's. Does that mean he would never have a hamburger if he was living here? You've got to look beyond some of these scriptures and find out what the context was. Here's the context of Paul saying, I will not eat meat until the world, as long as the world stands. They sacrificed in the Bible meat to their idols. They put them on an altar and laid them out there. And then they said prayers over them, and then they went away. But there was only one problem. There was no God. They were praying to a God that didn't exist. And so when they came back, that meat was still there. In the Old Testament, when they sacrificed to Christ, to God, God came down like he did with Elijah and lapped up the water and lapped up the sacrifice. But because they were idols, they didn't lap up anything. They just left it there. When they came back, their meat was still there. So they had to do something with that meat. So they took it to a market, and the market by name was Shambles. And at that meat market, they sold that at discounted prices. And so poor people would go to the Shambles and buy their meat. The Apostle Paul lived primarily by the gospel. He made tents, but he lived primarily by offerings and tithes that was given to him. And so he said, instead of wasting money and paying full price for my meat, I'm going to start buying it at the Shambles to save money. The word got out that he was buying meat that had been sacrificed, and he was now at the Shambles. And they condemned him. He said, oh, I'm sorry if I offended you. I won't do that again as long as the world stands. So he was explaining to them that he didn't believe in idols. He could eat that meat because he didn't believe that there was but one God. His name was Jehovah, revealed in his son Jesus. So he could eat that meat. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can do all kinds of things. We can just make all kinds of noise about Halloween. Well, I certainly agree we should not in any way talk about demons or devils or witches or the occult. The same thing is true about Christmas. You can choose to ignore it if you want to. But, friend, I'm going to use it as an advantage. And so we've got Christmas trees here. This is not what Jeremiah was talking about. These are Christmas trees. And when we talk about the Christmas tree, what are we talking about? We're talking about a Christmas tree. And it's always green. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that said, if they do this in the day of the live tree, what will they do in the dry tree? He said, after Calvary has become older and time has passed, he said, if they ignored Calvary when it happened, how much will they ignore it 2,000 years later? We are the people that do not ignore Calvary. We still cling to the cross. We still preach about the blood of Jesus. And so instead of ignoring Christmas, I want to celebrate it. And every time I see a Christmas tree, it's green. It's evergreen. It ministers to me that Jesus Christ's tree is still alive. It is still green. His blood is still warm. His blood is still red. Calvary is still an agent of salvation. And so when I see that, I do not want to shrink from it. I want to say, thank God. Look what they're doing. They're celebrating my Christ. When I see the light on the tree, or the lights on the houses, or the lights on the street corner, what I say, look at that. They've turned on the lights. Once the only time they do it, I beg your pardon, but if you're one of the people that leave your Christmas tree lights up all year, we make fun of you. You're supposed to take them down. Sister Becky wants to leave them up all year. We can't do that. You got to take them down and put them up. Take them down and put them up. Why? Because we are recognizing that he, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, and he is the only light of the world. There is nobody like him. So Christmas means something very special to me. And when we talk about Santa Claus, I just love to talk about Santa Claus because he's so much fun. In the first place, he gives us an excuse to eat as much as we want to. Because, you know, he's got that belly like jelly. And he eats those cookies. But let me tell you about him. He comes down a chimney. That's not much of an entrance, is it? Jesus compared to Santa Claus is no comparison at all. Because when you talk about an old man in a red suit, you got to talk about Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the one, when he comes, he's going to put one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. He is the one that is adorned in all majesty. And when John saw him, said he didn't look a thing like Santa Claus. He said his hair was white like wool, but there the comparison ends. He said in his mouth was a sword. His feet were as fine brass. He began to say, I'm he which was. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning, and I am the end. There is none like my Jesus. And so Christmas to me is a tremendous time of celebration, that we can celebrate Jesus Christ. And every element of Christmas is a reminder of what Jesus Christ has come and what he meant to this earth. Can you imagine all of the agnostics, all the antichrists that are mad because we have a birthday for Jesus Christ alone? Nothing like it. The whole world stops. Do you know there are records in history of people that were fighting in wars, and when Christmas came, they laid down their weapons, went and ate together, and then went back to their respective places and picked up their arms again? Only Jesus can do that because he is the Prince of Peace. And so this is Christ birthday, and we need to celebrate it every way we can. Celebrate it with a tree that says, I'm evergreen. I will never die. My Calvary is forever. Celebrate it by turning on the lights because he is the light of the world. Celebrate it by singing because he is the joy of the world. There is nobody like Jesus. There is no celebration in the history of the world like Christmas. And it's because of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And not only that, there's this business of sending greeting cards. Oh, that started with Jesus. When they brought the woman taken in the act of adultery, we don't know what that greeting card said, but when Jesus wrote it in the sand, we know that her accusers left and she was free. Friend, I want to tell you, when Jesus sent me a greeting card, it shut the mouth of my accusers and it set me free. It set me free. Every time I see a greeting card, I remember that Jesus wrote a special one to me. And the next one he writes is, he wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything about Christmas reminds me of Jesus Christ. It makes me want to sing. It makes me want to be nicer and kinder. It makes me be full of joy and love. It makes me celebrate the fact that I'm not alone on this earth, but Jesus Christ is with me, lo, always to the end of the world. And then there is this business of exchanging gifts, where we give gifts to the ones we love the most. I can't wait to see what Becky's got me. But Jesus and I have been exchanging gifts as long as I can remember. The first time, did you ever try to buy for somebody that has a lot? They're so hard to buy for. Oh, you talk about finding a gift for Jesus, it's so hard. But not really. Because he says, it's not the gift that counts, it's the giver. And so the first gift I ever gave Jesus was my sin. Can you imagine that? I wrapped up my sin and gave it to Jesus. And then he said, I'm touched with the feeling of your infirmity. And I unwrapped his gift that same day, and it was righteousness. Righteousness. I put on the gift of righteousness. The Bible calls it the robe of righteousness. And it wasn't your size. It was my size. It fit perfectly. Jesus Christ knows every one of us by name. He even knows our size. And he has given you the gift of righteousness. So when you give your husband, your wife, your children, your parents a gift, it's emblematic that you're giving to Jesus Christ gifts. And they're giving them back to you. For God so loved the world that he gave, that one gift made the whole world givers. At Christmas time, stingy people become givers. It just changes us. Christmas is about the change. Jesus Christ has given me so much. I gave him sadness. He gave me gladness. I gave him pain. He gave me healing. I gave him depression. He gave me confidence. What an exchange I have. Friend, I promise you, when you become the friend of Jesus Christ, your life will change forever. I've spent my life trying to give to Jesus, and it is more than just a cliche. You can't outgive God. No matter what I give God, he always gives me more in return. What a God we serve. So I love Christmas. I celebrate Christmas. Those that will be legalistic will call it paganistic. But praise God, I call it praise. It's just a time for me to turn the jets up. It's a time for me to praise him a little longer and a little louder. It's a time for me to celebrate him and recall what he's done for me. It's a time for me to look forward that there will be no end to his increase. Praise God. If I had hope in Christ only in this world, Paul said, I'd be of all men most miserable. When you get older, you start thinking about your family and your friends and your good times. And as the songwriter said, are the good times over for good? If you're not a Christian, they are. But if you're a Christian, the good times are just beginning to accelerate. They're going to get better and better and better. The old song said, I want to stroll across heaven with you. We're going to. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And so here I am earthy, but God gives me celestial. Here I am corrupt, but God makes me incorrupt. Oh, the exchange is marvelous. The exchange is marvelous. Here I am so fleshly, and God makes me spiritual. What a God we serve. I don't want you to ever drive down the street again and see a Christmas tree and not think about Calvary. Don't ever look at a Christmas light without thinking about he is the light of the world. Don't ever get a package wrapped up in paper and bows and never think about the gift that he has given to us. Let Christmas be the moment of in the crescendo of your praise for the whole year that Jesus Christ came while we were yet sinners and laid down his life because he loved us. And so we are at our peak love point at Christmas. We do better at Christmas than any other time. We give gifts. We're kind. We greet people. But Jesus Christ is more than that every day. Every day of your life, Christ is a gift giver. What if every day could be Christmas? It is when you're in Christ. Every day is Christmas when you are in Christ. And so, friend, don't let the Grinches steal your joy. Don't let the Antichrist steal your holiday. Don't let the super holy take away the celebration of Christmas. It is Christ's day, and because that, it is our day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And I've come as I do every day, and every time I come through the doors of this church, I've come to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I celebrate you because all I have is in you. I live in you. I love this verse. I love this verse so much that somebody embroidered a whole thing. I've got it in my office in a frame. It says, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. It's all in Jesus Christ. As I've gotten older, things of this world have faded away. I got to get me a new car. You don't understand. I don't even want a new car. But I used to buy a new car every 6 months. Every 6 months, I'd go to Roy Butler, the mayor of Austin, Texas, that owned the Lincoln dealer, and buy me a new Lincoln. I did that for years. But as you get nearer home, as I see the shoreline, cars just don't quite satisfy me like they used to. Clothes don't excite me like they used to. I'm just not quite motivated by the things of this world because they're fading in value, because I see before me a Christmas of all Christmases when I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to see my mama and my daddy and the dozens and hundreds of people that have been in this building that have already gone on to be with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to Christmas in heaven. It's going to be awesome. Dr. Billy Graham was being interviewed in his latter years, and he said, do you have any fear, Dr. Graham, of dying? He said, fear? This is what I've prepared for all of my life. I'm going to see him face to face. Friend, we don't know how many Christmases we've got left on this earth, but it's very probable that our next Christmas will be in heaven with our loved ones and with Jesus Christ. Friend, we cannot scare people to Christ. We can't threaten people to Christ. We cannot embarrass people to Christ. All we can do is make them see what joy it is to be a Christian and follow Christ and say, come and go with me to my Father's house. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear, no more sickness, no more disease, no more death. No wonder I celebrate Jesus Christ like I do. No wonder I put up a Christmas tree every year. No wonder I shout Merry Christmas 1,000 times in December. No wonder I exchange gifts, because Jesus Christ created the greatest holy day there's ever been. He came to this world, the gift of God, and I celebrate him today. Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and celebrate Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel Jesus here. I feel Jesus here. I've asked God for two things in the twilight of my ministry. Lord, make me more efficient at reaching people. Not a better preacher, just make me reach people better. I've seen some men and women that were not particularly gifted at speaking, but they could affect people for Christ. That's all I want to do, is affect people for Christ. And the second thing I've asked him for was, Lord, increase your anointing on me. I want everybody I pray for to get well. I want every person I pray for to get delivered. I want to be able to touch those with AIDS, and just because I call the name of Jesus over them. I got to preach a conference in a few months. It's a major conference to world pastors. I've already been thinking about it. I want to talk about walking in the anointing. Because Sister Jean, I haven't been able to walk in the anointing. I'm anointed, but just sometimes. I want it to be all the time. I think back to all the miracles that Christ has done in my life through me for people. And I think about them often. And I say, God, I don't want that to be the exception. I want it to be the rule. I believe God's going to do that for the church. He's going to increase our anointing. We're going to see more and more miracles, more and more signs and wonders. I believe as Christ gets ready to come back for his church, that he's going to increase the capacity of the church to manifest his anointing so the world can see that glorious difference and that millions will be saved and come to Christ. I believe the best days of the church are yet before us. And I believe it's going to happen quickly and suddenly. There are people in this building right now that all you do is you come to church and you bring God his tithe. That's wonderful. But let me explain to you. God has not brought you to your full capacity yet. Some of you, God is going to give tremendous ministry. Some of you, it's going to be just to minister salvation to people. Some, it's going to be just putting forth the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Some of you, God is going to use for miraculous healing miracles. God is going to pull out all the stops just before he comes. The church is going to be more than it's ever been, and you're a part of that church. So get ready. Get ready. God is going to bless some of you financially, not so you can have a bigger house and more cars, so that you can bless more people and help more people. God is getting ready to do things in your life. And so the thing for you to do is turn up your volume. Celebrate him more. Declare him more. For he is great, and he's going to be greater in your life than he's ever been. If you're in this room today and you know the Holy Spirit, just you people, nobody else, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you that he is about to increase his presence, his power, his anointing, his benefits in your life. He's been speaking to that to you, and you know he has. I want you to ask the Lord, start today. Lord, increase me today in Jesus' name. If you're one of those people the Lord has been speaking to about the increase that's about happening to your life, I challenge you to step out of your chair, walk to this altar right now, and say, God, I embrace the increase. Let it start today. Lord, in this Christmas season, as we celebrate your birthday, let the increase start today in Jesus' name. I'm asking that for myself. I want to be more loving. I want to be kinder. I want to be more anointed. I want to be more supernatural. I want to be the instrument of more miracles. I want to preach better to affect people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.